So this is episode 7, right?
It is, and it's the second eating episode.
Yes. And the second in a series of many.
Sorry, we like to eat.
So what are you eating?
I'm eating ice cream.
What kind of ice cream?
Maggie Mud's.
Hell yeah.
I can't remember the name. It's got some convoluted
Memphis
name.
Mud Pie.
Thank you, but it has whiskey in it, so. And yeah. It's made with coconut milk.
Oh man, that shit's so good.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to eat the whole thing today.
Good for you.
Thank you.
I salute you and validate your decision.
Thank you very much. Today is a whole pint of ice cream kind of day. How about you, Erica? What are you eating?
I'm eating this herbed tofu thing. I forget what the brand name is, but it's very delicious and it's made locally in El Sobrante, I think. Somewhere in the Bay Area, whatever. Yeah, and it's yummy and I'm just eating it like a big tofu steak.
And I salute and validate your decision.
Thank you. I'm also getting over a nasty sickness, so if you hear disgusting sounds and sounds like bodily fluids may be involved, that's me. Just ignore it.
We may censor it later.
Yeah, but possibly.
Yeah. It's really Erica's call because she's the only one that has the slightest clue how to use GarageBand.
I am almighty.
Right.
So WonderCon!
Yeah, so welcome to episode 7. We're going to talk about WonderCon.
Yeah. So, I went on Friday, and it was the first comic book convention I've ever gone to. I actually went because I wanted to see Will Arnett and Henry Winkler, and I just ended up not doing that at all. Because the place was kind of big, and then I was like, I'll just look at all the other cool shit. And it didn't look like me getting autographs from them might happen, so I just decided to skip it altogether.
Good call.
Because they're trying to sell me some TV show, I don't even get reception, so yeah. I'm just wasting their time.
Exactly.
Just looked around, browsed, had a fun time. I was kind of disappointed by the lack of Supreme Geeks. I mean, there was definitely a higher concentration, but, you know, there were really only a few cosplay nerds, and they were all, like, under 18, so you couldn't really blame them. And there were, you know, maybe one or two, you know, large, obese men with ponytails and sweatpants on and shower shoes.
So the comic book guy.
Yeah, basically.
Right.
I did see a guy wearing a comic book guy shirt. But yeah, that was about as nerdy as it got. Although there was a number of boutiques that I felt catered to the furry demographic.
Oh, yeah, there were some of those. Yeah.
There were like places where you could buy kitty ears and kitty paws. You know, to enhance the yiffing and the what have you that they do.
Yeah, there were some of those.
Those degenerates.
The very first booth that we came in that we came upon when we entered the area was, they had, you know that bear, it's like the cartoony bear that has like the blood dripping off?
Yeah.
I can't remember its name, but they had...
I was going to say pedo bear, but I don't know what you're talking about.
They had the hats that were like stuffed animal hats, and they had like one that was gray and one that was pink, and I really wanted for Mike and I to buy them. They each have, like, funny, furry bear heads.
Yeah.
But I think they were probably like $100, so probably money well saved.
I saw similar hats that were like at every booth out of 10 had those little like polar fleece hats with little like faces sewn onto them.
Yeah, they had those, but these were actually stuffed.
Oh,
like,
okay.
They were kind of like bonnets, but they had like stuffed animal stuffing, so like they would make your head much bigger. So that was kind of like you could have like worn them as a bike helmet.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see that, but I did see a booth of guys wearing Pac-Man hats, kind of like that.
Really?
Where your face was like in Pac-Man's open mouth. It was pretty awesome.
That is really pretty great.
So I was thinking about you when I was going through and looking at all the people lined up like giving out autographs. And it was kind of really sad because it was all these people who'd had like marginal parts in movies and now their living is to like sit and be judged by nerds mm-hmm. who may or may not indulge them with a $20, you know, autograph or whatever.
Yeah.
But I know there's a lot of like random like cult favorites out there, and when I was walking through the rows and rows and rows of these people, I was thinking, oh my gosh, Jordan's coming here tomorrow with Mike. And that poor woman is going to be stuck in this building for like 8 hours. So was it a feat of endurance to survive WonderCon with your husband in tow?
It wasn't as bad as I feared it might be.
That's good. So you were prepared for the worst.
I was. And we actually went with some friends who are, I guess, are primarily his friends because it's a husband and wife team, and they've both known Mike for a while, but the husband has known Mike for a really long time mm-hmm. and has been to a number of these kinds of things with Mike before, so he kind of briefed me on what to expect. Mm-hmm. Apparently Mike went 1 year and spent a lot of money. So Mike definitely knew more of the you know, kind of like grade double G celebrities than I did, but he was pretty restrained about geeking out about all of them.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
He's probably got all their autographs already.
Probably somewhere in this house, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So what kind of awesome swag did you walk away with?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see, I didn't get much. I mean, we're both a little broke, so we didn't want to go too crazy, mm-hmm. but I saw, while I was walking through the aisles, somebody that I knew from in Edmonton.
No way.
Yeah, who is a cartoonist mm-hmm. by the name of Stephen Notley.
Cool.
And he draws Bob the Angry Flower.
Oh, okay.
And so I bought one of his books,
nice.
Which I actually already had, but left in Edmonton. So I bought that and kind of, I guess I don't really, like, know him. I just hung out with him at a bar mm-hmm. one night on the random. But he's kind of a, he looks kind of like Michael Bolton from the movie Office Space.
Mm, yeah.
So he's got that kind of look, and he dresses very much the same, like, just kind of like a white shirt and normal looking pants. And he was just kind of standing at his booth, and then he'd made himself a cardboard cutout of yellow flower petals to go around his face. So he wore that on his head, and that was entertaining.
Awesome.
What else did we see? We saw Mike's favorite was Sergio Aragonés, who mm-hmm. is his hero, and got his photo taken with him, and that was a big deal.
And fill us in on who Sergio Aragonés is.
Oh, he is a cartoonist who worked for Mad Magazine for ages
that's right.
and ages and ages and ages.
That's right.
He did all those Gru comics. And yeah, I think those are his most famous things. He's done
cool.
like a few kind of I think he did like a comic book about Day of the Dead and like what
oh,
that's
nice.
All about and that kind of thing. And his Gru comics, which he still does, are developing an increasingly like kind of political, socially conscious bent, which is really cool to
cool.
see because it started out just being like totally silly.
Yeah.
We saw a 4-foot-high Toxic Avenger.
I saw that picture. That was really cute.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And Mike saw him and was so stoked. And then we took the picture. And then his mom, as we walked away, we heard his mom kind of turn to her friend and say, "Oh, thank God it wasn't another person saying, 'Look, a boy in a tutu.'" So, we made everybody's day right then
Aww.
And there. The whole experience was so overwhelming. Like,
yes.
You go in and they, like, you have to stand in line and register. And
yeah.
You get your badge, which is, like, your nerd badge. and then they give you, like, a bag with the program and some other stuff. And then, as soon as we walked into the exhibition hall, somebody else gave us, was handing out, like, giant red bags with their company logo on it. I can't remember what it was. But it was, like, a garbage bag-sized shopping bag.
I saw a bunch of those.
Yeah,
what were
actually,
they?
Actually, it's up there right now.
What the hell is in that thing?
Nothing. It's just a bag to carry around all your shit.
That's ridiculous.
So
I brought my own goddamn bag.
Well, yeah. I know. I don't see why anybody wouldn't. But I'm trying to think of the best costumes that we saw. And
I just saw a lot of, like, Naruto shit. You know, like, all this young person's anime that I don't watch.
Yeah, I was really hoping to see a Lupin, because I'm totally obsessed with Lupin the Third.
Well, we should go to Comic-Con in San Jose in May, which is the really big one, and there's sure to be tons of nerdy cosplayers there.
Okay.
And you might find a Lupin there.
That would be good. I would
like to see a character from Death Note attempted in cosplay, because that would make me laugh.
Yeah, that would make me laugh, too. Though I wonder, you know, really, how much those characters would be recognizable as cosplay, or if they just kind
of
look like...
I've seen some pictures of people trying it, and it's recognizable but hilarious all at the same time.
I see.
So it's... I eagerly anticipate it.
I saw lots of girls dressed up as,
Bimbos?
Well...
Sexy somethings.
As the two female characters in, Watchmen.
Oh!
With the very, very short attires, so...
Ridiculous.
Yeah. They were good costumes, but... I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know.
I'm gonna make that into a jingle.
Thank you.
Every time there's something you disapprove of, it's, I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah. And I successfully convinced Mike to not buy another full sheet size movie poster. We have one hanging up in our apartment, and it's literally like 7 feet by 5 feet. And so I prevented another one of those from coming into the house.
Good job.
Yeah. But all in all, I mean, it was just such an overload. There were, like, I remember things, and we saw stuff, and it was cool, but I can't remember it now because there's just so much stuff. I think it fried part of my brain. The nerd part of my brain is not adequately, you know, in shape right now, so...
You kind of exhausted it.
Yeah. I need
It's like at the end of a marathon when people, like, can't stand up anymore.
Right. I need to start exercising my nerd brain more.
Yeah.
Which is why, actually, I've got a stack of comic books on the table right there. So
I approve. Well, I got a pretty good haul.
Yeah.
I raided the Oni Press stand.
Oh.
I got, like, a little Scott Pilgrim bonus issue.
Very nice.
I got a comic about black metal.
Oh, I was looking at that one. That looked really good.
It was cute. Got a comic about zombies. I stood in line for like 5 minutes to get all the free shit at the DC table.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much like 95% of which was crap.
Yeah.
But there was one really good comic called, House of Mystery. And it has some artwork by Ross Campbell, who does, he did a great zombie book called The Abandoned. Mm-hmm. And he does a series called Wet Moon. And he draws these like really kind of, chubby, curvaceous characters, and they're all really cute and cool, and he drew a storyline in this freebie I got called House of Mystery, which was really cool, and it involved a girl becoming pregnant with maggots and then ripping out of her.
It was pretty awesome.
It was pretty cool. And the artwork for that, as you can imagine, was pretty good.
Right.
And I got Pranjal Battlestar Galactica patch.
Very nice.
Because we're nerds.
Right.
I got myself a little tank top that's, like, the least vegan thing ever. It's a picture of little kittens dressed up like sushi.
I saw that, actually. Mm-hmm. I almost
$10 box.
That. Yeah, yeah.
and then I got a compilation of the classic 90s comic Milk and Cheese. What else? Got a Scott Pilgrim poster.
Good work.
Yeah, little... Odds and ends.
Yeah.
Here's and there's.
Yeah. It's hard, like, because there was so much cool stuff, but,
yeah.
I mean, you know, finances are limited, but also, like, I suppose your place less than mine, but where do you put all of it?
Yeah.
So, because it's that kind of behavior that got me, well, that got Mike into this situation.
This is, like, the best podcast ever.
I know.
We're talking about storage, and I'm coughing.
Yeah. So should we punch it up a notch?
And I've got food in my mouth.
Right.
Let's punch it up.
Let's punch it up.
Since WonderCon was surprisingly tame.
Yeah,
and there were
no
cosplayers to make fun of.
Oh, though I did see one guy who was really, really, really into his costume of Captain Jack Sparrow.
Oh, that's really sad.
And, like, people were taking pictures of him all over the place, and, like, he was just, like, I mean, he looked pretty good, but I was kind of like, is that even appropriate for a comic convention? Because it's not a comic. It's a Disney ride that was made into a movie.
It's an animatronic robot.
Yeah.
It's a robot.
Yeah. So, whatever.
And, on the topic of unusual pronunciations, we got a lot of shit for how we pronounce cilantro. Cilantro.
Yeah. Who gave
and
us
apparently
did
I,
Pamela give us shit? Pamela.
Pamela.
I'm shaking my finger at you.
Someone else did too. There was a
xenophobe.
Bunch of people. They're all piling up on us. But apparently I started shifting and started saying cilantro.
Well.
Around the half hour mark or something like that. So I don't know what to say. Except, can't we all just get along?
Well, yeah. And I have a few other choice words for you people.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Rude.
Pasta.
Oh.
Drama.
Say it. Say taco.
Taco. And it's Zed.
Whoa.
Not Z, Zed.
The only word that matters is what you call a carbonated, non-alcoholic beverage.
Pop?
It's soda!
It's pop. So,
you evil
whatever.
Canadian. Get out of here.
All you American xenophobes that have a hard time with the way that I pronounce things.
Eat an ass.
Yeah. So, whatever.
I don't have that excuse, but I'm going to tell you to eat an ass anyway.
We're just kidding. Really, we welcome playful.
Yeah, don't eat an ass.
That's not vegan.
No.
We welcome playful making fun of our pronunciations of things, but I'm going to playfully get snarky at you afterwards. So as long as
I'm
we have that agreement,
painfully,
then
playfully stab you in the face.
I'm used to it. I mean, Mike is pretty much every time I say anything.
Yes, we touched upon the cilantro.
So cilantro
situation, and our top hit song, which is top of the charts this week. Thanks to you guys. Keep buying those singles. Thanks.
It's Coriander No, right?
Yes.
Yes.
The
right.
DJ Terror remix.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Look for the B-side out, you know, soon. I don't know. Like our second single. I don't
right.
know. So yeah, I also wanted to tell you about the grossest meal I made this week.
Okay.
Which is probably the grossest thing in recent history that I've made.
Okay.
Just because it popped into my head, and I thought, haha, I should tell Jordan. So, yesterday, I made some vegan mac and cheese. I used the Rhodes End organic brand.
Yes.
And this is a recipe, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, anybody listening to the podcast can replicate this amazing meal at home. So, Rhodes End mac and cheese. Made that up, mixed up the cheese sauce, and, you know. But that, you know, I didn't have that alone. I had some leftover tofu from taco night.
Okay.
Where, you know, I crumble the tofu up, and I splash some soy sauce in there, and then I fry it, and it, like, fries up, like, ground, and it's really tasty.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some of that. So I sprinkled that, like, fried up, burnt up tofu in the mac and cheese, and then sprinkled some raw Parmesan on top of that.
Nice. And how was it?
It was pretty disgusting, but awesome at the same time.
Well, that's so. Okay. I mean, as long as it's the awesome kind of disgusting, then that's all right.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of should have put some guacamole on top.
Mmm, that would have been really good. Or like, and then like a tiny bit of sour cream as well. I think that would have been perfect.
Totally.
If you could have like, and then maybe like a, what kind of looks like a cherry.
A cherry tomato.
Yeah, perfect. That's what you should have done. I expect next time.
Okay.
Pictures.
I'll take the grossness to the next level.
Okay, good. I don't think I made anything gross this week, much to my own disappointment.
I don't think that's anything to be disappointed over.
Though I did something kind of stupid
do
with
tell.
My cooking. So, myself and a few people that we both know, Jen and Melissa, have been doing Food Not Bombs on Friday, and
awesome.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And to everybody listening, I highly recommend finding your local Food Not Bombs if you have one, and doing it because it's really, really fun, and it's a really good like cooking challenge because you kind of get stuff donated, and then you have to make something for 100 people with whatever you get donated. So that
it's
can
like
be
Iron Chef.
Sort of, yeah. It is, sort of. But anyways, so last week we got donated, like, seriously a shit ton of apples. Like, I think we got, like, something like literally 60 pounds of apples. So we used up a bunch of them. And then Jen ended up taking a bunch of them home because we figured that they would last until the next serving. And then they started going bad, so we all were like, okay, everybody take apples and do stuff. So I made apple crisp.
Nice.
And I didn't realize until after I'd chopped, like, you know, 50 cups of apples that I didn't have very much sugar left, except for sugar cubes. So I figured that I could just totally cheat and, like, kind of embed the sugar cubes, like, strategically throughout the apples, and that they would just melt, and that it would be fine. And in some places, it worked beautifully, and the apples kind of caramelized, and they got kind of chewy and, like, really good.
Nice.
But then in some places, there's, like, a full sugar cube in my apple crisp. And I didn't tell Mike about this, so he took some for lunch today to work, and I really hope that he doesn't find a full sugar cube, because he's going to be horrified.
That's awesome.
So that's my stupid cooking move of the week, which is inspired totally by laziness, because I just really didn't want to go out to the store.
Excellent. I salute you.
Thank you. I mean, where it worked, it went off like gangbusters. Like, seriously, there's some, like, delicious, chewy...
That,
like,
does sound pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, then there's, like, I was eating some, and my spoon hit a sugar cube, and I was a little dismayed at myself. So
we've all done things like that, and I just want to reiterate at this point, I sound like an 80-year-old Reno waitress because I'm getting over a cold.
And because you have emphysema.
That's, yeah, that too. Right. And I smoke 5 packs a day.
Right. And all the crack.
Yeah. Can I get you a drink, honey? If I just spit on your floor.
Oh, that's okay. I'm being sure even more charming. Feminist issue. You know what? I can't think of anything, but I kind of wanted to talk about Prop 8.
Because, oh, okay.
Today is the big, like, day in court for Prop 8.
Is it?
Yes. So I guess right now what they're trying to decide is whether or not Prop 8 is going to be upheld as being a legal measure that could be determined with a ballot vote. Ballot initiative? What is that what they're called? What?
Yeah, ballot initiative. Okay. We should clarify for anyone who's not familiar with Prop 8.
Or who's been living under a rock.
I understand it's gotten some pretty, you know, fairly nationwide coverage. Prop 8 in California was a ballot initiative in November of 2008, the presidential election, that would make same-sex marriage it would write a law against same-sex marriage into the California Constitution. So it would change the California Constitution to say that only marriage between a man and a woman is recognized in the state of California. So, I actually worked on the campaign against Prop 8 to save gay marriage. And unfortunately, we lost. 52% of people voted in favor of Prop 8, in favor of making gay marriage illegal. But at the same time, that's like a 16% increase, or like 11%. It was a double-digit increase over a previous ballot initiative about 4 years earlier, or 9 years earlier. I'm really good with my numbers today.
Yeah, that's okay.
Some people did some things, and so today, Prop 8, yeah. The fight about Prop 8 now is to determine whether or not a ballot initiative can legally change the Constitution to deprive individuals or groups of their rights.
Right.
Is that it in a nutshell?
Essentially. I guess the legal fight is basically over whether or not what Prop 8 does is something that can be determined on a, like, via ballot initiative.
Right.
Or if it's the kind of thing that needs an additional level of support, say,
right,
you know, a legislative vote of approval or something
right.
like that. So, first, I guess, big ups to everybody who got this into court, because it's a bigoted and horrible proposition, and anybody...
Fucking bullshit.
And if you voted for Prop 8, then you need to turn off your iPod right now, because you are no longer allowed to listen.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
And don't even think about listening to our awesome podcast again until
You're just going to have to go to WonderCon for yourself next year. But so there's this big, there's a big kerfuffle today because it's in court, and I guess they're having kind of the opening arguments, and I imagine that this is, I'm a little behind on my news, but I imagine that what's happening is that they're determining, you know, what exactly is going to be going to trial, and,
right.
and whether or not, you know, like, setting the trial dates and determining who the actual parties to the lawsuit or to the
right.
legal matter are. So, I don't know. I had something to say about it, now it's gone. My legal mind doesn't work as well as it used to. It's gotten a little bit rusty.
If I can tie in the animal rights issue
that would be
to
nice.
Prop 8, because I know, I think a lot of people treated Prop 8 as, like, the only issue on the ballot, which, granted, I think a lot of politics is unnecessary. I mean, look at the California recall election, where you had, like, 230 people running for governor, and it was a circus and, you know, a waste of, like, $11 million. But, you know, that aside, there were an abundance of really important issues on the ballot this year, which made it difficult because, you know, it tended to really increase voter burnout. A lot of people came out to vote for Obama that didn't vote before, but then, I mean, like, especially in San Francisco, they were confronted with a ballot that had, you know, like, 27 citywide ballot measures alone, and I think it was, like, 12 statewide measures, and then, you know, an infinite number of local races and everything. So, you know, a lot of people tended to pigeonhole whatever proposition they were working on as the important issue in all caps.
Right.
So a lot of people working on against Prop 8 to save gay marriage, a lot of people doing that got really upset when Proposition 2 passed in California, which is Proposition 2 legislation that basically gives more space and imposes more standards on the food animal industry. So obviously it's a tiny microscopic step in the grand progress of animal rights, but it's
right.
an important one nonetheless. And a lot of people were saying things, you know, that really hurt me as somebody who's an LGBT activist as well as an animal rights activist, saying things like, well, chickens have more rights than we do, and
yes.
Californians care about animals but not about gay people. And, you know, I feel like that anger is totally justified, but, you know, I don't feel that my animal rights and my caring for, you know, people who have other sexual orientations than I do are mutually exclusive.
Yes.
So I just want to throw that out there.
Yes, you actually reminded me of what I was going to say, which is that I was going to offer a rebuttal to a fellow podcaster, one Dan Savage, who I love.
Rebut away.
Yeah,
I feel like we should have a rebuttal jingle, just because it has the word butt in it.
Yeah, well.
But. Hi, I'm 12.
That's fine. Jingle away.
Rebuttal.
So I'm addicted to the Savage Love podcast.
I do partake myself. I enjoy it.
I have been reading Dan Savage's column since I was probably too young to read it.
Yes.
And I've been listening to the podcast as long as it's been on. And I believe I've listened to maybe not quite every single episode, but like 95%. Literally
wow.
95%
of
them.
That's impressive.
I'm obsessive. But
we rhyme.
Yeah. But, and you know, I've stayed loyal to Dan, even though he has gone on the air and trashed my hometown.
Yeah.
So, but that's fine. I guess I kind of do that too. But, but
recently, I'm gonna grab more food. You can keep talking.
Okay. So after the whole, after the election, which Dan Savage had been very actively promoting certain ballot initiatives and certain candidates. He supported Barack Obama for president, and he was, you know, very, very against all of the ballot initiatives that would take away gay marriage or make it, you know, illegal or make it impossible to ever be
right.
legalized. He's very against those and very vocal about his opinions on his show. And then after the election, when Proposition 2, the farm animal welfare one, passed, and when Proposition 8 also passed, but in a bad way, he went on his show and he yelled at California for passing Proposition 2 and not passing Proposition 8. And I would just like to say to Dan Savage that the two things are just not necessarily related. It's not like there's a quota of votes. It's not
exactly.
Like if Proposition 2 gets so many votes, then that means the no on 8 gets a number of votes taken away.
Yeah. Prop 2's not the nadir here, okay?
Right. Proposition 2 can pass, and there's still room for Proposition 8 to pass. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think of it in the same way that, you know, like, you're growing up and you get in trouble. I guess you don't have siblings, so you don't know what I'm talking about. But you get in trouble, and you feel really bad. And then, you know, your siblings are like these little golden darlings, or, you know, and then, and you cry and you're sad and you ask your mom, like, Mom, do you love my sister more than me? And she'll be like, no. Or, and parents are always saying, you know, like, I'm not going to run out of, I love you all equally, and I'm not going to run out of love for any one of you, and, you know, don't worry, I'll still love you even if I have 600 kids. It's kind of the same thing. I mean, you can care about animals, and you can care about gay people. I don't understand the whole, you know, it's the gays or the animals, or it's the gays or the blacks. Like, it's just, you know, we don't need to be pitting oppressed groups against each other. It's not some kind of, like, Thunderdome. Like, what oppressed group is going to win out? Which one is... You know, what's
tonight?
Yeah.
At the Demolition Derby!
I mean, this is not, like, you know...
It's the Orphans of Calcutta versus...
the Gays of Alabama. Like, no!
Crush 'em! Sunday.
Exactly. And I really have to wonder sometimes about people who apparently have that image in their head. Mm. I mean, Dan Savage is a wonderful, articulate, intelligent, you know, compassionate, cool guy. And, you know, I think he gives great advice, and he's a, you know, he's written some great books, and I love his show, and I love his writing. But what the fuck? Like, is that what he thinks when he thinks of animal rights? He thinks, oh, well, you know, they're
the people who took it away from the gays.
I mean, and then on top of that, that totally ignores the existence of people like, you know, two people that I'm related to who are gay, and one's vegan, one's vegetarian. Mm-hmm. They're both pretty concerned about all this kind of stuff too. They're not.
Yeah.
And it amazingly doesn't make them any less gay. They're still 100% gay, even though they care about animals. So, I don't know. I guess that was just kind of, I mean...
I don't think Dan Savage is above admitting a mistake, though.
No, I don't think he is
either.
He's
been set straight by several, you know, listeners and or readers over the years.
Yes, and I have meant to call Dan Savage and say basically that same thing, but I didn't hear him say this until quite recently because I, you know, right after the election, I moved into San Francisco, and so I really lost track of a lot of podcasts and things like that. And then
you entered a zone in which criticism of veganism doesn't really permeate.
Yeah, kind of.
You don't get a lot of reception for that here.
Yeah, it's true.
You don't have that satellite.
Yeah, that's true. I'm already totally privileged and brainwashed, and I forget that other people exist. But anyways, so I guess that's the rant of the week, is like...
Nice.
You don't need to pit your oppressed groups against each other. The oppressed group should be working together.
Yeah.
I mean...
Totally.
Just imagine how cute Farm Sanctuary would be if, you know...
If all the farmhands were, like, really cute gay cowboys.
Yeah, exactly. I think it would be really, really cute and nice. So anyways, it's not really a feminist issue, but that's, like, an oppressed minority issue.
Well, I think, you know... I want to reiterate what I said when we were shit-talking PETA, which was so much fun. Let's do it again.
It really was. I'm biting my tongue because there's somebody that I want to shit-talk, but...
You know, on this topic and also on the topic of PETA and their sexism, I think a lot of people fail to understand, or they lose sight of the fact that all oppressions are in essence the same oppression.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's all... reliant, and, you know, I realize I probably sound like a Hare Krishna right now, but you know what I mean. It all depends on the assumption that one person or one group of people are inherently better than another group of people or living creatures or whatever based on, you know, self-imagined boundaries and differences. So.
Right, right.
Bam!
Yeah.
You've been knowledgized.
Deal with it.
Wow, 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 wow. That's my tough love street rapping knowledge for y'all.
Good. I think that's excellent.
I'm a gangsta poet.
You should really take up poetry slams. I think you do very well.
Yes.
That's what we should do. Maybe we should broadcast this. We should do an episode where the entire episode is like slam poetry.
I can dig up my flute from high school. I can play some, like, you know, jam out on some jazz flute. Like, I think my parents have some bongos somewhere,
really?
Too. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. We have recorders here. We have more than one recorder.
Are recorders really the instrument of beatniks?
No, they're more the instrument of Renaissance nerds. But
and third graders.
Yes. Though actually, I went to school, music school, with a number of people who majored in recorder.
Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's like, to me, I mean, not to knock it, but that sounds like majoring in kazoo or something.
Well, the thing about recorder is that, like, you could get degrees in early music, so you play the same instruments that they were playing in, like, the Renaissance period. And recorder was a big one. And, like, so these people were really amazingly proficient at recorder.
Wow.
And it was very impressive. And early music, as it is known, it's gorgeous. Like, it's beautiful music. But the people who tend to get really serious about it tend to be a little bit crazy. Just a little bit.
As are the people who tend to get serious about anything.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. We're just a couple of wacky, carefree chicks.
No kidding.
That's why we're living until we're 200 years old.
Are we?
Till our tits are down by our knees.
I don't think I have enough to go down to my knees.
You will by then.
All right. Perfect.
All right. Let's look at my other little notes.
I see you have a note here entitled,
yes,
Internet Urban Legends Lobster Tale.
I just felt compelled to tell you and all our listeners. We have 37 subscribers now, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. Hi, 37 or more people who are listening to us. Thanks for subscribing.
Yes.
We love you.
Yes.
You're hot. So I just wanted to let everyone know that it's always been one of my dreams to start a very successful internet urban legend.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And my high watermark, mm-hmm, that I'm looking out for, and this is also mentioned in it was mentioned several years ago on Dan Savage.
Okay.
Or in his column, I should say, not on the podcast. But there was an internet rumor, and I got it from, I think, at least one, maybe two people who were very panicked thinking that it was real.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind while I'm telling you this story.
Mm-hmm.
So the story is that this young woman went and bought some lobster, or maybe just one lobster, took it home. I'm kind of wondering how I should tell the story in chronology.
I think I might know where you're going with this.
Well, then I'll do a long story short thing. The thing was, she apparently masturbated with the lobster tail, using it as a dildo, and the lobster allegedly panicked and released tons of eggs into her uterus. And then a few days later, she had horrible pain, like diarrhea from her vagina, and she birthed thousands of burning hellspawn eggs of a mutant lobster-human hybrid. And there were
totally
people that
believable.
There were people that were like, "Oh my god, this is terrifying!" Like, they had been considering, you know, fucking a lobster tail until they read this.
And see, now this is the first. This is the first issue that I've always had with this internet rumor, is how on earth is it supposed to be fun to use a lobster tail as a sex toy? Those things are sharp.
Well, obviously the people who are writing these have never seen a vagina in real life. So they're thinking, chicks like to stick things inside them. That's how they get orgasms, so...
Right.
The kinkier, the better.
Okay.
And now you know.
But still, I mean, every time, like, the first time that I heard that, I was like, what kind of stupid woman was that? That must have felt terrible.
And I, yeah, but I just can't get over the people believing it and being frightened by it. Like, was this something you were going to do? Is this something that could reasonably happen to you, that you're this concerned?
Do you think that this was maybe started by, like, the conservative Christians in the same way that they start those rumors, like, you know, legalizing gay marriage will lead to bestiality?
Right.
Do you think that this is one of the same things? Like, they're so scared of female sexuality and, like, female sexual power that they are starting these internet rumors designed to make people afraid of it? Like, girls, don't masturbate with lobsters.
I think this might be the, like, you know, the 21st century version of the, you know, hair on your palms myth, or, you know, you'll go blind myth.
Right.
You'll have mutant, you know, lobster vagina diarrhea. So yeah, that's, you know, I'm always dreaming that dream that I can someday top the lobster tail urban legend.
So speaking of internet urban legend, I was recently chastened by my mother, hi mom, who, somebody posted on the PPK or on Facebook or something that video that is that elephant painting the portrait, and I sent it to my mom because I thought she would think it was neat, and the next day I get an email from my mom that says, "You didn't think that elephant thing was real, did you?"
Sucker.
Because I guess I kind of did. I mean, I thought that they'd kind of trained the elephant. Like, I didn't think it was, like, this spontaneous thing. But I thought that they had, like, you know, hey, here's this elephant. Like, let's train it to draw itself.
Yeah.
And I guess it's totally fake. Is that is that true? I don't...
I haven't seen the video, so I don't know.
It looks really amazing, because it's, like, you know, an elephant. And then she paints, like, this kind of simple picture of an elephant with, like, it's a flower in its trunk. And if it's real, it's the cutest thing ever, because, you know, it's like, look, the elephant can, like, conceptualize itself.
Yeah, really.
And that's pretty huge. But, so now I'm left with this doubt in my ability to tell internet fact from fiction. So maybe...
Well, I got suckered, too, recently.
What did you get suckered by?
I got one of those, you know, ubiquitous... I found these puppies, and they need a good home, please, you know. And it was, you know, it was a friend of a friend of a relative of a friend of a, you know.
Right.
And I was like, oh my god, these puppies need help! And I can't believe I fell for it. But it was totally on Snopes and everything, like the same picture of the puppies. It was like 5 years old.
What's the point of those?
I mean, yeah, I know. What do spammers get out of that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I deal with tons of spam, though. I don't know what it is. Spam is evolving. And that's actually something that I wanted to talk about, because I think it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. And it gives people an exciting behind-the-scenes look into, you know, the world of spam and moderating an internet nerd forum.
Yeah.
So, I mean, most of the spam that I have to delete off of the internet nerd forum that we all know, because I'm sure that the only people that listen to this are from there.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's, like, from Russian email addresses, and it's all, like, porn, or it's links to 100,000, like, different kinds of car insurance or something. But lately we've been getting these people who
what
sign
up.
What
about oil? Don't forget about oil.
Oh, the kapop oil. Yes.
Kapop oil.
See, those are, like, you know, those are the good old days. Now we're getting these people signing up who, like, I think they're real people. So there's, like, actual people spamming, and what they do is they sign up, and they're all from, like, Yemen or Benin or, like, Guam or something like that. And like, they have little avatars and stuff. And they don't actually post links for anything. Like, they don't have even a website in their profile. It's just they post these things. They're like, hi, I am getting very into this forum, the ppk.com. Thank you very much. And so it's obviously spam. Like, it's obviously that this person is not going to come back and start talking about the rainbow colors of their bowel movements. But,
which is the main topic of conversation,
yes,
on the PPK.
And thank you so much.
Yeah, let's just take a moment and acknowledge everybody who has ever talked about their feces, their sex life, their masturbation habits, discharge that may be coming out of their genitalia, discharge that may be coming out of their anus, or what their well, I did mention feces already. Vomit, mucus.
What they're masturbating with?
That too. Pimples. Anybody who has ever talked about that on the internet, we know who you are, and every time we meet you in person or see anything you post about,
we judge you.
We will be thinking about all your bodily fluids and those of your loved ones.
Yeah.
Continue.
Thank you. And just, you know, as a side note, I'm really glad that I didn't have to think about your bowel movements when I first met you, Erica. So I thank you.
Right back at you, buddy.
Thanks. Thank you. anyways.
Thank you for being friends.
I can't even remember what I was saying now. Oh, spam. So spam is evolving to, like, go beyond actually promoting shady websites, and it's now just, like, this internet quota that needs to be filled. It's like there just needs to be a certain number of spammers. It doesn't matter what
spam
they're doing.
Spam needs to exist in order for the universe to exist.
Yeah. It doesn't have to actually anymore be selling anything or trying to scam you. It's just there. It's very esoteric and it's very
that
weird.
That is.
And it kind of creeps me out because it makes me think that
we should make a series of short black and white films on the subject.
Yeah.
And show them in empty warehouses.
I think that's a good idea.
To scowling black-clad friends.
Maybe we could make chairs out of cans of spam. That's not really vegan, but I guess if they're donated, then it could be free.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So anyways, the exciting world of spam.
Yes.
Yes, and the exciting world of reading about all of your bodily functions.
I don't know if we have any dispatches. I've been slacking on telling people to do dispatches.
Maybe
so.
We should have bodily function dispatches.
This thing that you were asking about earlier.
Bart
there's
people.
There's this Bart people. This was a segment I first thought of when we first talked about doing a podcast last year. And obviously it was going to be like a, you know, Bart people is going to be a general term because you were still living in Edmonton at the time. But now you live here, so
yes.
You can fully participate in Bart people. And that is or Muni people, or AC Transit people, that would be the weird people or regular characters that you see on public transportation.
I see.
And I was thinking about that on my way over, because I was taking public transportation.
I need to start taking better notes, because San Francisco is really world-class in terms
of
man. The weirdos on the bus.
Yeah.
Though also, I mean, Mike has been noticing an alarming...
Our number one export is weirdos.
Really?
Yeah. It's our greatest gross domestic product.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about my new home. But Mike has been noticing a sharp increase in the amount of racial slurs used
really?
Around public transit users.
That's not cool, dudes.
Yeah, he doesn't know if it's a, you know, reaction to the poor economy or if people are just more asshole-y now than they used to be. It's hard to say.
No more racial slurs.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Yeah, we know that it's you, 27 of you, who
37.
Oh, God, sorry.
Yeah.
We know that it's, you know, the 37 of you that are causing this problem, and we would like to issue
a cease and desist,
please. For the good of all.
Yeah.
Because all oppression is one, including racism.
Yes.
Yes. Should we pause and do weird shit in my house?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Awesome. I also have some gossip for you.
Awesome. All right, you can tell me during the break.
Yes.
And I'll act really surprised when we come back.
Yes.
Oh my God, I can't believe that gossip you just told me, Jordan.
I know,
was out
isn't
of control.
It egregious?
What an asshat that chick is.
Yes, asshat.
Okay. All right, so now we've got some weird shit in Jordan's house.
Weird shit in my house. Do you want to go first?
I want to go first because right. I think yours is clearly the winner today.
Okay,
so
all right. Well,
I will
go.
Concede and present the appetizer that is, I guess, what's his name? Visible Dude or
the
something?
Visible Man, I think.
Anatomy Dude.
Yeah.
He's this very chiseled, handsome-looking...
action figure,
action man in a spandex harlequin suit.
Yep.
And you rip open his Velcro closed jacket, and you can see through his skin to see his lungs and his intestines and circulatory system.
And it's totally not accurate at
yes.
all.
Yes, and interestingly enough, he has no gonads. So, looks like he's the last in his line.
Yes.
Which is kind of sad.
I checked and he doesn't have a butt either.
Well, I think, to be fair, scientists are still trying to determine anatomically what is inside your butt. So, you
really?
Know. They're just, you know, leaving that slate blank for future discoveries.
Mm, I see. what I really like about him is how he's, like, dark, dark tan.
Yes.
And so, like, his hands are still skin colored.
Right.
And, like, his back and the back of him is all skin colored. But it's just, like, this one... It's just his torso, essentially, that's clear. So you can see these, like, badly rendered...
His lungs are black, by the way.
Yeah, they're
with
totally
red veins.
Black.
That's I'm concerned.
And his intestines are clear with like some kind of purple.
Yeah, his intestines basically look like a mess of red vines.
Yeah.
And electrical wires.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, I actually find it funny that you pointed out how tan he is, because now I'm just imagining him like going to the beach with like. A chest plate to cover his translucent skin so that
right.
he doesn't get, like, a lung burn.
Right.
But then, like, tanning himself crazy everywhere else.
Right.
He Brown
must
as a chestnut.
Like, a tunic. Some kind of tunic. Which I imagine would be very attractive beach wear. Plus,
yes.
his spandex jumpsuit is really very good.
It's fetching.
It is.
Yeah.
I would like to see more men attired in that kind of thing.
So yeah, that's our anatomical dude, and I just can't wait. I need you to move on to what you
okay.
found, because
okay.
it's just too good.
So, this is something that I found, a little while ago when I was cleaning up the kitchen, which was a complete fucking disaster area for a very long time. I found this next gem, which is, a Frankenstein bong. It is a ceramic.
It is a thing of beauty.
It's got like a really hefty handle.
Yeah, so like, it almost looks like a mug.
Yeah, it looks like a really big beer mug. Like you know those English beer mugs?
Yeah, like
a stein. That look like faces. But like
yeah.
in England they did all those you know, absurd
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, the nice ceramic ones.
Yeah, and they look like, you know, the pudgy red. You know,
yeah.
over
Winston
you know,
Churchill.
Yeah, or you know, some English lord or whatever. So it's kind of like that, except it's Frankenstein, and he looks really stoned. Like, I think that they went out of their way to make him look kind of stoned, so that
yeah.
you could turn like
well, he
you
is
know,
green.
Yeah, so you could like take a big hit off the bong and then turn it around and
be
like Frankenstein knows what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
I totally know how you feel, man.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the weird thing about this is that I don't think Mike uses a bong ever.
And the bowl, it should be noted, is squarely above his right eyebrow. The arch
oh, yes.
of his right eyebrow.
Yes, that's true. It's...
Which seems like kind of an ungainly place to put it.
Yeah. But, I mean, you have to put it somewhere, I guess,
yeah.
right? Though I think it would have been cool if they'd have had it coming out of one of his neck bolts.
Definitely. Definitely.
And then, yeah, there's like a giant green plastic pipe coming out the top. So...
And it's interesting, there's like an indentation on the top of his head, almost like I see this, I see Frankenbong
yeah.
as the ultimate party bong.
Totally.
It's got a handle, it's like ceramic, so you can carry it around like a beer stein.
Yeah.
And just talk to people in between like big fat puffs of it.
Yeah.
And it's got this huge indentation, which is pretty generous. You could easily hold at least a half ounce of weed in there.
Yeah.
So you're just walking around with your mug Frankenbong with, like, at least half an ounce ready to go, and you're just working the circuit in your party.
Yeah, totally.
And you're probably wearing either a toga or a bathrobe.
Yeah. Or you're dressed up as the dude from the Big Lebowski.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have no idea why this is here.
But it's so awesome.
But it is pretty awesome. And as you'll see when we take pictures.
That
and
is
post
just
them.
So amazingly over the top.
Yeah. It's kind of dirty. I'm a little scared to, like, put it to my mouth. Because it's got a lot of dust and God knows
I
what
I have
else.
No such qualms. I'll pose with it.
All right.
Gladly.
So that's a... So that's the weird stuff in my house. And actually...
I totally know how you feel, Frankenstein.
I need to...
Oh my god.
I can just totally see
It's like Hamlet holding the skull. He's totally. Like, Frankenstein, you're the only one that knows me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like he's identifying with you. He gets it. He's been there.
Frankenstein makes no judgments.
No, I mean...
He can see you at your worst.
He can.
He'll still be there in the morning.
And he still loves you.
Oh, God.
I think I'm just going to carry this around with me for the rest of the day.
I think you should.
And then if anybody ever tries to give me shit, or if anybody tries to break into our place, you could always, like, hit them with this thing and kill them.
Is it pretty solid?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
It really is. It's not a fragile... I mean, it's a bong, right? Yeah. So it has to be... Because the people that are handling it are probably going to be...
A little clumsy.
Yeah. Totally.
That is a thing of beauty.
It is.
I kind of feel like 500 years from now, like, future Indiana Jones will be, like, outsmarting booby traps to steal Frankenbong out of a temple.
I kind of hope that, you know, something will happen after Mike and I are dead, and this place will be preserved as it is.
And then Frankenbong will be your living legacy.
Well,
Smithsonian.
This whole place really, I think, is worthy of being preserved. And I don't mean that in a snarky... I meant to point out because I think Mike felt a little bit like we were trying to pick on him by, like, looking at his weird stuff and talking about his weird stuff.
Oh, no. So we appreciate Mike's weird stuff. It's awesome.
Yes, that's what I wanted to say, is that Mike is like, an amazing... like, pop culture anthropologist and collector.
He has amassed some of the most important collections known to contemporary culture.
He has. And I think one of these days, somebody is going to realize what a treasure trove he has in here, and they're gonna, I don't know, get him to curate their museum or something like that. And I'm not being facetious.
The Museum of Novelty Bongs.
Mike Desert Curator.
Yes, I enjoy our sessions of weird shit in Jordan's house because I appreciate and enjoy weird shit. And I
Me too. I'm not good at collecting it, though.
Yeah. My hat goes off to your husband as a connoisseur and an enthusiast of weird shit.
Yes, so... Not that he ever listens to this, but...
Yeah, because... You know. In his words, he has to listen to you every day, so...
So why would he want to listen to me now? Yeah.
I don't know if I should mention this, because people might steal my awesome idea if I mention it on the podcast. But, Josh Hooten, who's a friend of ours, and is the awesome dude who, helped start, Herbivore Magazine and Herbivore Clothing.
Even though he never returns emails.
Yeah. he is undertaking a 600-mile bike journey.
Yes.
From Portland, Oregon, to the California Farm Sanctuary in Orland, California. And he will be raising funds for Farm Sanctuary. So I wanted to kind of give a shout-out on that. I will... his website doesn't come to mind right now, but if you go to herbivoreclothing.com, I'm sure there will be a link to Josh's...
Yes.
page about fundraising and training for the bike ride. And I really, really, really wanted to make a t-shirt to help raise funds for his bike ride, but I think he would probably hate it and would probably not let me do it.
Whatever. I'm still gonna... Does he hate animals?
Obviously. I'm still gonna throw it out there in the hopes that he will let me make these t-shirts if I promise to give all proceeds to his bike ride. And that is a t-shirt that says, "I give a hoot about Hooten." And I really want to make that t-shirt, but I'm afraid he might hate it too much. So, yeah, if you live in Portland and you see Josh in person, because that's the only way you'll ever get to talk to him,
right.
is go in there and tell him to let Erica make "I give a hoot about Hooten" shirts for his Farm Sanctuary bike tour.
Right. And even if there are no t-shirts and they do not come to pass, there's, I believe, a Facebook group and other kind of associated miscellaneous things.
Yeah, you should still support his bike ride, because that is a fucking awesome thing to do.
It is, and we here at the Cosmopolitan Hour salute Mr. Josh Hooten and
we
his
do.
Thighs of steel.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well...
Maybe we can, you know, we keep talking about our farm, our animal sanctuary, farm animal sanctuary, road trip. We should go up there and do our road trip and then ambush him when he arrives and force him to give us an interview.
Oh, that might be good. But I wonder, you know, he's a little media shy, you know. Do you think that he'll do it, or do you think that he'll just, like, rage out and...
Yeah, he might punch my laptop and, like, throw me off a bridge or something. Right. But that's a risk I'm willing to take.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're willing to take that
risk. Yeah. I got a taser. It'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're good. You're totally good.
Okay. So, before we wrap up the episode, I wanted to pimp my art project that I told you about.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, here's my art project. It is a book that I bought when I lived in Hong Kong. I noticed this morning it's a British book, so I don't think you can get it in America, but it is Arnold's Bodybuilding for Men by Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's a large picture book, you know, instructional fitness book, written, and I'm doing the little air quotes right now, by Arnold Schwarzenegger, with lots of pictures of men in really, really short shorts. Doing very homoerotic poses and exercises and everything. So what I wanted to do was take this really awesome book and, you know, if you know me for 5 minutes, you know that I hate Arnold Schwarzenegger and I hate the fact that he's the governor of the state. I can hardly even say it. But I hate him and I would like to humiliate him. So I would like to have this art project where... I'm sure we all remember being in junior high and high school and defacing our textbooks with, like, erasers where you erase stuff out or you use correction fluid to, like, white something out, and then you draw in something really funny, like, you know, maybe you draw in lots of dicks or you draw in, like, a space alien or a Frankenbong or something like that. So you, like, make a funny picture out of what is a really stupid picture in a dated text. So I want to revive that ancient art. I feel like we should have a name for that art form. But I want to revive the ancient art of textbook defacing.
Textbook defacing.
Yeah, all right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to post details probably on the Cosmopolitan Hour blog, which is thecosmopolitanhour.blogspot.com. And basically, if you want to do a page, just you can send us an email, thecosmopolitanhour@gmail.com. And, you know, I'll just have the book sent to you. You can do a page, sign your name in the back, and then I will send you the address of the next person that you mail it to until the book is mostly defiled. And then, you know, I'll probably put up a web page or something where you can see all the pages, and it'll be really funny. So check the blog for more information on that, and I'll also put up some photos and some examples of what's going on in the book, and maybe do a page myself so you can see what I'm talking about. But it'll be really fun, so do it.
Yes, do.
And that is it. Do you have anything else that you would like to close the episode with?
Nope. I'm still writing advice at my
newish
blog, and I'm currently working on a post. About vegan burnout, since Rory Friedman failed to address that in her most recent advice column. So
I look forward to reading that.
If you're interested in, you know, vegan advice, then it's tooveganTofunction.wordpress.com. And that's the project pimping portion of the show.
Yes.
And with that, I think we're done, eh?
That's right. We are done.
Eh?
Eh. I think we should do a high five over Frankenbong.
Oh.
Yes. Frankenbong enhanced the high five's awesomeness.
All right.
Frankenstein, you totally know what I'm talking about, right, dude?
Goodbye from the three of us.